This is the Woodland Hills Family Church podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now enjoy today's message with Ted Cunningham.
So today we continue in this series called A Matter of Life and Death, and Travis kicked it off last week, and I've been excited for this message called The Right to Remain Silent. And we're talking about restraint. And if you know someone in your family or among your friends who really enjoys talking, or you would even say they talk too much, would you raise your hand? I'd just like to see. Okay. If you're that person, would you raise your hand? Good. Okay. Honesty's a preacher boy. Yeah, honesty's a good thing. So does anybody here have anybody in your family or among your friends that loves to use the term to make a long story short? Anybody love that? You know who uses that expression? The person who has no clue how to make a long story short. They're 10 minutes into a story, and then they say, "End to make a long story short." And you want to say, "To make a long story end." That's what the expression should be, because your inner voice is screaming, "Land the plane. Let's get this bird on the ground." We all, and you're looking at a guy who talks too much, right? And I have a lot of opinions, which is fine to have opinions, but I sometimes share my opinions way too much. So this message, just like the Revelation series, 8:15 next week, Brother Kent. Anybody else want to spout off right now real quick? Anybody else want to run their mouths? All right. Stephanie, you're welcome to come to 10 if you like, but Kent is banned from the 10 o'clock show. This message, just like the Revelation series, is preparing us for a November election. We have a lot going on, and we have a lot that we're invited into, but we have to be reminded, follower of Jesus, that restraint is part of humility. And we're going to see today, even from the example of our Savior, how important restraint is in our walk with Jesus. In Proverbs 18:21, which is where Travis kicked us off last week, the tongue has the power of life and death. It brings life and death to your family, to your marriage, to your relationships, to your church, to your community, to your workplace. But those who love it will eat its fruit. And you know, we live in a day and age where there's just a lot of noise. And you and I are invited every day into conversations, and we're asked to add our voice or opinion to every topic out there. Many of you know, and you've experienced this firsthand, when you do add your voice to a topic or share an opinion, you're misunderstood at times, sometimes misrepresented. What we also see today is we don't even need to be informed on a topic to have a strong opinion. That's called social media. We can spout off and act like experts on every topic. Add to that what we've experienced the last 4 years with cancel culture. And cancel culture has done a couple of things. One, it has many Christians speaking up even more for fear of being silenced. Some obnoxiously vent on every issue of our day, but then others have done just the opposite. They've been silenced, and we're going to look at that today. The Bible calls us to a restraint, right, that adds influence and power to our voices. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul says this in chapter 4, verse 11, and I've always loved this text and tried to make it my life's ambition, but he says this: make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you. I heard Francis Chan share on this earlier this year. He was talking to a room full of young people, I would say all pretty much in their 20s, and he was sharing this text, and he asked the room, he said, what was Jesus doing at the age of 23? What does the Bible tell us Jesus was doing at the age of 23? Well, it was silent in the room. And Francis says, well, we know he was a carpenter. And then he asked him, what was he doing at the age of 25? Still silent. He goes, well, we know he was still a carpenter. What was he doing at 27? Still silence. And he goes, hopefully he was a better carpenter. And then he says this: it's almost like Jesus made it his goal and ambition in life to lead a quiet life in his 20s, to mind his own business and work with his hands. And yet today we're being told to make your living and to be an influence that you've got to speak up as often as you possibly can on everything being thrown your way. I've seen this with pastors that'll get online with these moments on social media and go, ask me anything. Well, you know my smart aleck mouth and how it works. I want to ask them something I know they can't answer. Why? Because I know these pastors, they're not an expert on everything. So why would you ask people, just ask me anything? And I know they're meaning from the Bible, but there's just so much out there to say, hey, I need to speak up on everything. And today we want to talk about adding power to our words. Proverbs 17:28 reads, even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. And I just want to encourage, I know we love the words authentic, real, vulnerable, and transparent. But I would add to that list discerning, right? Restrained, knowing that you don't have to speak up and out on every topic. Elizabeth Elliot said, never pass up an opportunity to keep your mouth shut. My friend, his initials are Kent McMillan, has this on a magnet on his refrigerator. I found it this week because I thought of you, Kent. Mark Twain, it is better to keep your mouth closed and let people think you are a fool than to open it and remove all doubt. And all God's people said, amen. I'm getting that magnet for my fridge as well. You see, restraining our words, believer in Christ Jesus, does not silence us. That's not what we're talking about today. It gives our words power. That when we do speak, our words have even greater influence. I rarely tell you have to go see a movie. I actually do quite a bit. But this one... this one you gotta go see. Amy and I went and saw it on Monday, went to the 1220. The place was packed. It's probably my favorite movie in the last 5-10 years, the movie Reagan. Reagan's always been my favorite U.S. president, and I know if you're an air traffic controller, you're like, but only the senior adults in here get that. The young people are like, what's up with air traffic controllers? Amy told me, hey, brace yourself. It's a 2.5-hour-long movie. I go, it could be 4 hours, and it wouldn't be long enough to recognize this man's life. I just love it. Why? Because he's a great communicator, great storyteller. But what I love, when you watch that movie, just pay attention how much he restrained his words. That when he restrained his words, it added even more power when he did open his mouth. He's just a great communicator. And I am hoping Kamala Harris and Donald Trump go see that movie. To learn how to bridle their tongues. To add even greater, look at all the Trump people going, You know exactly what I'm talking about. Running your mouth all the time is not good for leadership. Restraining your words adds influence and power to your voice. I love the scene in the movie, and I made a couple mistakes in the first service with my facts. And I'm just grateful for a church that fact checks all my messages. And I thank you. Thank you so much. You're a very helpful group of people. And so I made the mistake of saying Ronald Reagan ended communism. Okay? Hush it. I meant to say he ended the Soviet Union, and I believe that. Okay? And I get communism is not dead, and if we're not careful, it's going to make a comeback in this country. That's kind of my opinion. Keep shut your mouth and remain silent. Anyway, so I had to get corrected on that. But the meetings that Ronald Reagan, when he flew to Geneva and when he flew to Iceland to meet with Gorbachev, oh, those meetings. And we were not in the room, but I thought Dennis Quaid did a phenomenal job portraying this. But when in Iceland, Gorbachev, you know, they started to meet, and the whole big thing with Reagan and Gorbachev wanted us to end our Star Wars initiative and not have a defense against the missiles. He said, we'll eliminate some missiles if you will get rid of Star Wars. And you see in the movie, and if you go to see it, Reagan just kind of pushed away from the table. Think about the power of that. It's risky. I'm not saying restraining isn't risky, but he pushed away from the table. And the whole movie, it's told from the eyes of a KGB agent, a former KGB agent, who's just like, incensed with this guy named Ronald Reagan, who's standing up to the evil empire. But his silence and his restraint added so much. So, believer, I just want you to be inspired today. We should be known for boldly proclaiming the truth. Amen. Okay? But we should also be known for our restraint and compassion. And don't allow our running of our mouths to affect this right here. We're talking about a restraint that adds influence and power to our voice. And listen, Jesus was never manipulative. He was never controlling. He never coerced anyone. He was mission-focused and others-centered. And he would walk away from people in situations, if necessary, to stay on mission and others-focused. We read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. If I can encourage believers today, let's do what he did. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Let us learn, follower of Jesus, especially in this season, to practice some online restraint. Online restraint means you don't need to post every thought. You don't need to post every opinion. I would also encourage you, don't post when you're mad. Don't post when you're venting. Don't post right in the parking lot of your lawyer's office. You know what I'm talking about. Avoid throwing a pity party. When you go online and you start venting and throwing the pity party, yeah, a lot of people pity you, but not for the reason you think they're pitying you. Online restraint. I would encourage you, pass your text, emails, post by a reliable friend or family member before you hit the post button. And spend maybe a little more time educating yourself before you become a speaker on a subject, before you become an expert. People are going to attack you. They're going to misunderstand you. You're going to be misrepresented. This happens in our world and in our lives, but we don't always have to retaliate. We don't have to make threats. The bottom line is when we speak out on everything, we lose credibility with the most important things. And we don't have to speak out on everything. So let's look at five ways to practice restraint and get very practical with this in the message today. Number one, and this is, I want to just share this first and foremost with husbands, okay? You don't have to say everything you think. The thought pops into your head, it doesn't have to come out of your mouth. Now, I know what's happened. There are senior adults in here and go, here's the problem. If I don't get that thought out immediately, it's gone in 15 to 20 seconds. So I don't care where you're at in your story or in your argument, I got to get it out quickly. And the problem is you're constantly listening to reply and not listening to understand. So yes, be real, transparent, vulnerable, authentic, all the words we love to use, but be discerning. Proverbs 18:2 says, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. Right? So as followers of Jesus, we want to be good listeners. We want to lean in, incline the ear, let the other person share. And even when something pops into our head or an opinion or something that makes even more sense, we don't have to say it. I was with a friend this week, a new friend on a trip, and he cracked me up talking. He goes, yeah, here's the problem. Sometimes when my wife is talking, she's sharing this story, and she could start the story right here, but she starts it way back here. And I got to go on this journey with her to get it to here, and it's just like, come on, by the time. And I got nothing to say because I had all these thoughts along the way that just went... You don't have to say everything. Here's why. You don't have to share every thought. I don't know, my senior adult friends in here are going to remember. This is some of my favorite commercials growing up. Does anybody remember E.F. Hutton? Oh, these are great commercials. E.F. Hutton talking about financial management, but in a crowded restaurant or airport, and, you know, there's clinging of utensils on the plates, and it's loud, the hustle and bustle of a restaurant, or the airport. They're trying to find the noisiest places that you and I frequent, right? And bags are hitting, and it's just... it's chaos, but when someone mentions the name E.F. Hutton, the commercial would go completely silent. Everybody would stop everything and look at him. They're all leaning in. What did E.F. Hutton say? What did he say? Because I want to know. I want that for each one of you. I want every grandparent in the room. You may not have the energy to speak as much as you used to, but when you do speak up, that your words would have such weight that everybody would be like, oh, Ron's about to speak, lean in. Kent's about to speak, lean in. I've been in meetings over the years with a man in our town, his initials are Jack Hershen. He doesn't say a whole lot. But when he does speak, if you're still talking, I want to look at people like, zip, zip it. Like, let's listen. I want the E.F. Hutton. Proverbs 11:12, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. See, our silence helps us learn. Our silence helps us get to know other people. Our silence is telling that other person, you matter. You're worth my time. I may not agree with you. And remember, listening doesn't say I agree with you. I need to tell this to every young person still living at home. Asking your parents a question and them listening and not responding doesn't mean they're on your page, right? So don't go to mom and be like, I just talked to dad and he's with me. No, dad didn't say anything. Listening doesn't mean I agree with you. Disagreeing doesn't mean I hate you. Healthy people aren't threatened by the opinions and feelings of other people. And they can listen and get to know someone. So that's number one. Number two, let others praise you. Proverbs 27:2, let someone else praise you and not your own mouth, an outsider and not your own lips. Thursday night, we had almost 400 of our volunteers who make campus work each and every week at this church. We do a worship night for our volunteers. And it was a wonderful evening. And I shared this passage with them. And I said, you don't need to praise the work you're doing for the Lord. Let me be the one. Let it come from my lips today and tonight. Thank you. What you do matters. What you do has an eternal impact for the kingdom. And it's very important. Keep going. I thank you for it. I was getting a haircut last Monday and a few chairs down. I don't know if my new friend is in here today, but 70 years old. I won't say his name, but he hasn't been in church in his adult life, but hasn't missed a Sunday in the last 4 months. And as he's sharing with me about, we talk about the Revelation series and having a good conversation, I loved what he said at the end. He goes, hey, and whatever you do, don't get rid of that bearded fella in the parking lot. And he was talking about his initials are Cameron Lawrence, right? Cameron's going to be mad at me for saying this. He goes, we look forward to seeing him every week. And here's why I share Cameron. Almost every week, Rex comes up to us. Rex is our care pastor. And he'll pop his head around a corner or he'll show up in a meeting and he'll say, hey, you know that young lady that was talking to you? Yeah, you know that older gentleman that came to you? You know the young man? I go, yeah. He goes, I just want you to know they prayed to receive the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I want you to know, and I'm going to praise for just a moment all of our volunteers that make it happen. From the parking lot to that announcement from Rex, think about everything that took place in between the two. When you drop your child off and someone warmly welcomes your child and then warmly hands that child back to you in about an hour and 15 minutes, and you better have your receipt. As my friend Johnny W. says, we don't exchange without receipts. And if you don't have your receipt, the best we can do is give you back a child of equal or lesser value. But think, I think we get going in ministry and we forget the difference we're making. You don't have to praise what you're doing. Let me do that today. Let me say thank you. Now, maybe at work, sometimes you're like, I have to remind my boss often how awesome I am. And everybody here knows that person at work that's constantly tooting their own horn. And I know, and that I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you're that person. But I know the reason you do that, you're like, Ted, if I don't tell them, they won't know. Not true. I can guarantee you, if you're knocking it out of the park and doing a great job at work, it is noticed. If you're a leader in our community, you own a business, or you're managed somewhere in town, listen, let someone else do that. You be the one that does that for your employee. They don't need to come to you and remind you. Call it out. If I don't tell them, they won't see it. So this is where restraint is part of humility. Amy sent me this week. She's reading a book with a friend right now on humility by Andrew Murray. She sent me this snippet from it. I loved it. It's, humility is perfect quietness of heart. It is to expect nothing, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, to feel nothing done against me. It is to be at rest when nobody praises me. And when I am blamed or despised, it is to have a blessed home in the Lord where I can go in, shut the door, kneel to my Father in secret. And I am at peace as in a deep sea of calmness when all around and above is trouble. Be at peace. We don't need to run our mouths in times of distress. Number three, be the one where rumors come to die. Let it end with you. I love Proverbs 18:8. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. What's your favorite morsel? What's your favorite candy? I want you to think about that right now. Mine is Milky Way. Snickers, they just have peanuts that get in the way. I love Milky Way. And it's been years and years and years since I have eaten a full-size Milky Way. I don't eat the full-size Milky Way. I feel irresponsible when I'm eating a full-size candy bar. But you know those little ones? I can down 4 to 6 of those in one setting. Why do I feel better about myself when I'm eating the little ones? Amy buys bags of Milky Way, keeps them around the house, and I can just pop those. What's yours? You're like, I would never eat a muffin. There's like 600 calories in a muffin, but those mini muffins, I can. I just love that word picture because that's you and I, how we treat rumors. We can run from the big things, but what are the little things that we're constantly feeding ourselves with? What are the little snips that people like to throw out there? Let it be dying with you. Proverbs 18:8, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. Don't add any more fuel to the fire. We go on to read in Proverbs 26, without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. Let this be true of your home, true of our church, true of our community, Woodland Hills. Let's be known in this community that when people want to start gossiping about people, things that aren't true, we're fact checking it. We got to stop it. But just let it die with you, knowing it is not going to be spread in this town because of me. It's going to end here. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. Whew. Let us know. I love one of the things I have in my office, Bill Rogers, an elder of our church for years, retired pastor from High Street Baptist. When he was clearing out his library, he brought me some boxes. And one of the little plaques in his box that sits on my desk, it simply says, those absent are protected here. Meaning, if you want to come in and talk to me about someone else, the problem is they're not there to share their side of it. They're not there to work there. So I need to stay focused on you and how you can take personal responsibility for what's going on in the situation. Do you know someone at work who isn't very productive because they talk too much and they like to spread the rumors? Let them know that's not an office to stop by. That's not a register to stop by. That's not a cubicle to stop by. That person is not going to entertain what I have to say. Now, number 4, when angry, stay silent. When mad, don't post. And I want to start with a passage, and maybe some of you have heard this, because this is some of the worst premarital counseling I've ever heard given. And it was always given with good intention, but it's not accurate, and it's taking the Bible out of context. And it's simply this. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down or the sun set while you are still angry. Who has heard in your walk and over the years, you should never go to bed angry? Would you raise your hand? Okay, look around the room. Okay, it's coming right out of Ephesians chapter 4, 26. How many of you have ever gone to bed angry? So early in our marriage, Amy and I practiced this. Like, we can't go to bed angry. And the problem was we would always start our fights right after sunset, which meant we had 24 hours. That's not at all what Paul is saying here. We've misunderstood this for years. If you have a study Bible, I want you to look at your study Bible now under Ephesians 4:26. There's going to be a letter somewhere in that verse. If it's R-S-T-U-V, just go down to the bottom and look up that letter in the notes, and you're going to see Psalm 4:4, because that is the verse, that is the text that Paul is quoting. And here's what we read in Psalm 4:4. Be angry and do not sin. Now watch this. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. This is the opposite of how we've been taught Ephesians 4:26. Meaning, lay down, do business with the Lord. You may not have the solution to whatever you're in conflict with in your marriage. You may have no resolution, but you can go to bed. And how many of you have gone to bed frustrated? There's something that needs to be decided. We're out of energy. We can't fight about it anymore. But when you wake up the next morning, it just doesn't seem to have the oomph that it had last night. You want to raise your hand on that one? Yeah, we've all experienced that one. So yes, take it to the Lord. Be silent, because in your anger, and this is one of the reasons why you may fight for hours and hours into the night, because it's not going to the Lord. So when angry, stay silent. Take it to the Lord. Take personal responsibility. And number five, let others share without interruption. Let others share. Proverbs 18:13, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. We want to be good listeners. I was really practicing this years ago. We did family camp for years with our friends, Jill and David Jones and their kids, and Andy and Stephanie Watson and their kids. I mean, we raised our families at camp. And so you can imagine the chaos and everything and talking. And I'm sitting there on the porch one morning with my friend David Jones. And I'd call him a good friend until he said this. But I'm talking to him and I go, you know what, David? I've made the decision that I'm gonna get better at listening. I talk too much and I just need to be a person of understanding and listen better. And David looked over at me and he said, you know, that's gonna be refreshing. I go on vacation with this guy. So last week I was invited by a group of guys to go on a 500-mile jet ski trip in Alaska. When I was first asked to go on this trip, I said no because the timing didn't work and just too much going on. And when I told Amy about it, she goes, you most definitely need to go. You love Alaska. You love fishing. I go, this is a jet ski trip, 500 miles. And so I went on this trip with 12 type A guys and three guides. And it was an adventure of a lifetime. I mean, it was. I have so many great memories, made so many good friends. But there were a few moments where I went, jet skis really aren't made for the ocean. And leading up to the trip, Amy was sending me all these videos of orca whales messing with kayaks and paddle boards. That's when you know you got a good wife. Nipping at them and tearing the rudders off of boats. So we go out. The first day was Juneau, Alaska to Petersburg, Alaska, 137 miles. They broke us up into two groups, 5 and 7. I was in the fast group. Greg Bettis was in the slow group. I have to say this because he's going to say a lot of my story isn't true. He wasn't there. So I'm with the group that has a professional, the guide who has been 150,000 miles. He circumvented the earth on a jet ski. And then a professional jet ski racer, they must have looked at me and said, this guy's an athlete and probably should be in the fast group. So they put me in the fast group, and the first hour and a half, amazing. I mean, we saw a pod of orca whales, pod of humpback whales, and then we got out into the Bering Sea. Now, it's the Pacific Ocean, but for this story, I'm calling it the Bering Sea. Because have you seen Deadliest Catch? Okay, imagine that with a jet ski. Now, it was only 2 to 3 foot waves, but 2 to 3 foot waves on the ocean, the wind and the storm, it's a lot. I can demonstrate that 2 hours if you'd like me to, once we got past the calm seas. This is what we did for 2 hours. And I was questioning my purpose in life. I hated it. Like, what are we doing? This is the dumbest thing I've ever done in all my life. I start falling back from the group. And I'm telling you, these guys are professionals, right? So I'm a half mile back, 3/4 mile, not back, exaggerating. My friend Todd from Atlanta, he raced them professionally in his career. He comes back around, yells at me, and he's yelling through the storm. He goes, Ted, the faster you go, the better it'll be. That is not true. The faster you go, the higher you go, and the harder the impact into that next wave. So, And to make matters worse, I didn't dress properly. We had a dry suit on, but I put my raincoat on the inside of the dry suit. And so my hood served as this scoop into my dry suit that every time I hit a wave and it hit me in the face, about a gallon of water went into this scoop and down my back and filled up my dry suit. And finally, Todd comes back, and he goes, come on, as he's getting back. I'm like, just go. Leave me. I'm done. I'm camping over there on the shore. This is an adventure, but this is just stupid for those 2 hours. So I'll be honest with you. I got back in Peter. I was exhausted, absolutely exhausted. And every night, We did a devotional, and we just got some conversation starters going. And that night, I wasn't feeling all that spiritual, but I engaged. And it would go one night, it went an hour and a half. I want to introduce you to our guide who was in the back. His name's Dom. And Dom, 24-year-old from Northern California. Precious guy. I mean, and Dom, I hope you're watching. He said to send him this link after this morning. I hope you do tune in, Dom. Thank you, first of all, for saving my life. He retrieved my hat. Thank you for that, Dom. Thank you for the snacks. The snacks were my favorite part of the whole trip. I had Kind Bars and Milky Ways. I was so entitled. You have no idea how entitled I was fighting the Bering Sea. So anyway, Dom, one night, and only one night, and this is what's amazing. He only showed up one night, and I think just by accident kind of joined our group of 12. We went into this room in the hotel, and we sat around the table. And that night was on listening to understand, not reply, which every type A needs to learn how to do. And it was fun because we're all got a lot of energy, a lot of things to share. And so we're talking, we're interrupting each other. But for an hour and a half, we go, and Dom doesn't say a word. And at the end, I just ask, I go, Dom, would you like to share anything? And he said, I've never experienced something like this. He said, I didn't know stuff like this existed. I didn't know guys got together and were this open with each other and sharing. Because we're asking questions like, hey, how would your wife describe you as a listener? What are you going to do to be a better husband, a father when you go back, grandfather when you go back? I mean, it was real. It was fun. It was engaging. We have friendships now for a lifetime from that group because we survived the Bering Sea. And then I just said, Dom, can you tell us about your faith? And Dom started to share, and it was pretty clear to me how the rest of that night needed to go. And I opened up my Bible app to Acts 17. I just said, I go, Dom, I love when I go places around the country and I hire a fly fishing guides. You know, they're typically pantheist. They worship creation. They're very connected to creation. They love creation. And I tell them, you're already a worshiper. You're just one step away from creation. You're just one step away from worshiping the creator, the one who made it all. The one guy came by my jet ski while we were looking at the most beautiful glacier I've ever seen, and we're up close to it, and he goes like this. He goes, Ted, have you ever seen a more beautiful church? I said, yeah, I have. This ain't a church. This is creation. The church is the body of Christ. It's the family of God. It's the children of God. And I shared with Dom, and I said, can I just read for you this passage, Dom? And out of Acts 17, I love these words that Paul shares. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. And watch verse 27. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not that far from any of us. And at that moment, all 12 guys in that room, and Greg Bettis was in that room as well, and he would tell you the Holy Spirit was moving in Dom's life. It was pretty cool to watch a group of 12 type A's. Zip. I share this with you because I don't want to miss moments when the Holy Spirit is moving because I'm running my mouth. And I'm okay with many of us, we grew up with the evangelism style of, if you were to die today, you go to heaven or hell, right? Okay, all right, why don't we ask someone about their story or about their faith? What if listening to someone led you to a place in Scripture that doesn't fit with the formula you learned? And I got up from the chair, and I looked at my new buddy, John Mark, he knows his Bible, and I go, John Mark, are you going to talk to Dom, or am I? John Mark goes, I got it. And I watched him go over. And Dom, with his head like this, I listened to John Mark share the gospel with him, and he walked him right through the Romans Road, and at the end asked, Dom, would you like to become a follower of Jesus? And that night, we moved from creation to seeing Dom worship the Creator and become a new creation. And I went to bed that night going, every was worth it. And I want to encourage you this week and open up this and see where God is moving and join him in that. When the Holy Spirit's moving, let's keep our mouths closed and open it at that moment when there can be great power and influence with our words. Would you pray with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for our new brother in Christ, Dom, as he heads back after this week's trip to California, that we can find a church for him to plug into and believers in Christ Jesus that can surround him and encourage him in his journey. Thank you for this church. Let us be people of influence, have voices of influence that we can share and encourage others. Teach us restraint and humility. For the one who's never placed faith in Jesus, that today would be the day of their salvation. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.